It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's ADDAMS books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I am delighted to welcome to Catch the Beat Cindiana Jones on a rare visit to Illinois family from her home in California, where you are an airshifter with K-Mud Radio, which has been broadcasting since 1987 as part of Redwood Community Radio. RCR in Southern Humboldt County is the equivalent of WEFT's overarching organization, Prairie Air Incorporated. But RCR is larger.
We have three transmitters, three different call letters, and then the website.
Yeah. I am always very interested in other grassroots radio stations because WEFT is really rare. You know, we've been on air since 1981, and we're one of the grandpappies of the whole thing, and you are too. So tell us about K-Mud Radio.
Well, our purpose has always been to educate, inform, and inspire. We actually began when most of the people that were living in that region didn't have electricity. There was no phones, there was no electricity, there was no way to communicate. It was before cell phones. So they decided they needed a radio station to keep each other informed. And these were back to the landers in the mid to late 70s, a lot of Vietnam vets. And it grew. It became actually the hub of the whole community for very many, many years. K-Mud was like one of the only radio stations you could get in that area to begin with. Being part of the community was the whole function. It was there to keep people informed. And at that time, also, there was the budding cannabis industry was starting to happen. And so the station would keep people informed if there was a raid happening somewhere or various. They would say where the road that the convoys were going down so that people could leave. They wouldn't be able to take their plants with them, but they would not get busted themselves that way, you know. So that was probably what really bumped it into the stratosphere as something that everyone was listening to. And honestly, it became where you would know what day of the week and what time of the day it was by what show was on the radio. That's how you listened all the time. It was always on. There's a couple more radio stations now, and the community has changed a lot. And since legalization and in Northern California, the permit structure, if people that still want to grow cannabis, is they priced it out of possibility. So it's a very depressed right now economically region. So a lot of people are moving away. A lot of new people are moving in with don't even know about radio because they've been listening to Sirius or XM radio. But a lot of people that are moving there now aren't. One of our missions at this point is to really kind of spread the word that we exist so that people can every now and then decide, well, let's see what's on. Because once they start tuning in, they usually stay tuned in because there's all kinds of every genre, different music, different talk shows, different comedy.
And you alternate music and talk shows. We have it a different way. We have music until 4 o'clock, and then we have the WEFT Courier, which is news and public affairs for 2 hours, and then back to music or public affairs. And I kind of like the way you do it because it does give a variety to the daytime program.
It's the same. Actually, we do music until noon, and then we broadcast that Democracy Now! Is on from noon to 1.
Yeah.
And then it's music again until either 5 or 5:30, and then we go to public affairs and news until 7 or 8. And it's just, there's always a talk show at that point, and then it goes back to music at 9 p.m.
Tell us about your show.
My show is called Music is Medicine. It's all over the map genre-wise. The only thing I don't play is heavy metal because I don't like to be screamed at. And my brain goes into short circuit if I try to do fusion, abstract jazz. I don't understand that language. I understand that it is a language that a lot of people enjoy and understand, but I'm not one of them. Other than that, I play music from the 40s all the way up to something that just got released brand new. And it can be reggae, it can be rock, it can be bluegrass, it can be folk. It's everything. If it has lyrics, the message is always pretty much about being human one way or another. The songwriters, they're the poets, storytellers of the times that we live in. And it's been that way since the bards, since forever, you know. And it hasn't changed. And there's some wonderful music coming out now. KMA's been on the air for almost 40 years, so all the old-timers are starting to, you know, do something. They're kind of done, and we're getting a whole new crop of young programmers, which is very exciting.
Now, how did you get into radio from the start?
Well, from the start, I was always growing up a radio listener. I was a radiophile from the days when they first went on FM, because it was AM when I was really young, and then they started doing FM. And so when I moved to that area, KMUD was brand new. And I was a listener, and then I was a contributor, and then I was a volunteer at various events and got to know everyone there. And then there was a job opening, a 3-year job opening for an office admin assistant. And I took the job. I was just leaving to go on a trip out of the country, and I heard the thing, and I sat down, and they said, send us a resume and a cover letter. I knew about resumes, but I didn't really know about cover letters. And so I sent them a cover letter and said, you know me as Cindy from Westport. And I don't know if the job was made for me or I was made for the job, but you want to hire me. And then I took off on my trip, and then I got an email that said, when are you going to be back and come in for an interview? And while I was doing that job, someone that had an early morning show was leaving, moving to Hawaii. And she said, you need to take my show. And I said, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. And she said, sure you can. You got great taste in music, and we'll teach you the soundboard. So there it went, and that's how it started.
Yeah.
Here I am, I never would have thought. It's been really one of the biggest surprises in my life that I would love it so much as I do.
Well, you know, that was the same for me.
Yeah, I just love doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
KMUD has quite an impressive staff list. You have a station manager, news director, program director, technical director, development coordinator, and membership coordinator. How many paid positions?
I think it's 6, or is that 7? There might be 7 now, but most of them aren't full-time. They're there because we don't have the funds for that. But there's usually 5 or 6, maybe 7 paid staff, and everything else is volunteer.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, because we just have one paid position, which is our station manager.
Well, and our station is really one of the few community radio stations that actually has its own news department.
Yeah, I was impressed with that. And so what does your news department do?
It reports basically on local news, and if there's some really big issue that they might mention something else. But it's usually local regional news that we need to know about, and it really keeps people it's keeping people informed.
So do you have reporters?
Yes, they have stringers that are also volunteer, and every now and then I think there's a stipend to help them out that way.
Yeah.
But they rebroadcast it again at 8 the next morning. At 5 o'clock it goes on, and then at 6 o'clock, excuse me. And then at 8 in the next morning they rebroadcast it, so that if you missed it, you know, you couldn't listen to it that night, you'd get it the next morning.
Yeah. Our only news show really is Democracy Now!
Mm-hmm.
The syndicated programming is more weekly, so it's not day-to-day headlines.
Yeah, ours is 5 days a week. And we also broadcast Democracy Now! And but there's a few more syndicated shows like that, but there's not really very many. Most of the programming is done locally.
Yeah.
So
I was very interested to read about some of your programming. All Sides Now editorial, you offer 2-minute slots for opinions. How does that work?
There's a specified phone number for people to call, and they tell them you have to be 2 minutes, you're going to be cut off. So make sure that you're within that 2 minutes, and it just goes to a recording, and then that gets played at certain times of the day.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How many of these do you get?
It depends. It really varies depending on what people are upset or happy about. I would say probably there's 3 or 4 people that pretty much call in every week just about to do a new thing that they want to give their opinion. And then there's probably another dozen that do periodically and some that just do it once. I don't know how many are like that.
Well, and then you get into difficult territory. Do you censor, you know, certain kinds that you choose not to air?
I'm not in charge of that, but I don't think, unless it's got profanity, you know, you can't, there's the seven deadly words, whatever. Right. If it has any of that, they can't, they'll broadcast those. But I don't really think that it is censored, because that's what it's there for, is to let the community speak their opinion. There's a talk show on Friday mornings, call-in talk show, every Friday at 10. It's called Thank Jah, It's Friday. And there's a wide diversity of people that call. There's this one guy that is super right-wing and always calls and tries to pick a fight, you know. And yeah, every single week. They used to call him the angry one. Then they call, now we call him the passionate one, and they've kind of stopped arguing with him. They just let him speak. And then then you get 2 minutes on the air there, too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you have a listener comment line.
Comment. It's if somebody wants to call and comment that they like or didn't like a show, then they can do that. And then whoever is supposed to get that message will get
that. So that's a message. That's not a recorded thing, too.
It just gets recorded so that whoever takes that message then passes it on.
That's a useful thing to have.
It really is. And it can be really nice, especially when they have nice things to say.
Yeah. And then one of my favorites is you have lost dogs.
Yes,
reports.
We do the critter report.
Yeah. And that's a pretty popular drop-in.
Very popular drop-in. And I mean, that has been going on. They didn't used to call it the critter corner. It was just a thing that we did all the time. But people call in with lost dogs, lost goats, lost horses, lost whatever. One time there was lost emus. You
know? We had a reindeer lost in downtown Champaign once.
You know, but people do. They call in, or somebody found a dog. They said, we found this dog in this region. This is what it looks like. It does or doesn't have a collar on, whatever, and give a description so that the person that's looking for the dog, they leave their phone number. So if this is your dog, call this number. These people have your dog. If you've found this dog, call this person. The person needs their dog back.
So how big is Garberville with lost dogs in Champaign-Urbana? That's a little beyond what we can keep track of.
It's a very big listening area, so it's not just Garberville. It covers like three different counties, basically. So it depends. It's a big feature for us, and we get calls from different areas.
What are the challenges that KMUD faces?
Well, there's a lot of challenges, actually. There always seems to be a little bit of issue between the board and and the general manager and the staff. Yeah. It's never a smooth ride, I think. I don't think it's ever been a smooth ride as far as maybe a couple of times. So keeping our general managers is actually one of our problems, because they don't get a lot of pay, and there's no insurance or anything like that. So if they're and there's certain board members that never seem to let up. They'll always be wanting something different. And so it can get really frustrating if you're a general manager, I think. For the most part, I think our biggest challenge right now is really finances at the moment, but it's for interpersonal stuff. I think everybody has that thing.
Well, and with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting being shut down, because that used to finance a lot of the music permissions.
I don't know how much that affects us.
It does affect us,
huh? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, because I know that we report to Spinatron.
We do Spinatron, too.
The main thing is that it's not cheap to keep. It's like $1,500 a day to stay on the air for us. Mm-hmm. And this is like in an area right now that's really economically challenged. So it's really, we'll see what happens. We're all hoping.
Do you depend on your pledge drives?
Yeah, that's, and our underwriters.
Yeah.
But in the moment, most of the businesses and stuff in the area are also economically challenged, because the main source of disposable income was the cannabis industry, and it's collapsed.
That's interesting.
So there's a lot of empty storefronts now. There's a lot of nonprofits that can't keep going. Humboldt County was at one time had the highest per capita density of nonprofits of anywhere. And that was because people had disposable income and they were building up their community. You know, they really put it back into the community. Yeah. But they don't have that now, so it's really a challenge on every level. Everyone in the area is economically challenging. It started in the mid-70s in that area. It was a lot of Vietnam vets came back. They didn't want. They moved up to the hills, into the woods, with no power. They started a different life, and they had seeds that they had brought back. So they started growing for themselves, and pretty soon their friends wanted some, and pretty soon their friends' friends wanted some, and so on and so on, and it grew from there. I mean, the Emerald Triangle is known for being the heart of where the cannabis industry started. The Emerald Triangle is Humboldt, Mendocino, and Trinity County. Timber and fishing were the big things before. Even before that was the fur trade. The Russians came for the otter furs and seal furs, and the Europeans and English came for the timber. Then there was something called Redwood Summer that was in, had to be like mid to late 80s was Redwood Summer. And that's when, there's actually a documentary called Who Bombed Judy Berry. And she was a real activist organizer for the big stopping the clear cutting. Because there was these huge lumber companies that would come in and just take everything. And it became a real issue. And then they won. I mean, finally we won. We got the company to leave. And there was a woman named Julia Butterfly that lived in a redwood tree for 2 years. She didn't come down.
I think I heard about her.
And she would call in every Friday to KMUD and give us a report, you know.
A report from the top of the redwood.
Yep. And we loved her, you know. It was really something. But so when the fishing and the lumber died is when the cannabis was just coming in. And that actually provided more money for more people than either one of those other two industries. And they were people that had a different type of community development in mind, I think.
Yeah. How about listenership? Who are your listeners and what's the demographic?
I actually would have to tell you it is so broad that I don't think I can really describe it. It's like I was saying about this one. We have people that are way to the left and right on either end of the politics. And age groups, like now we have a lot more younger listeners than we did like 5 years ago, maybe.
Do you know what's bringing them to the radio? Because people, you know, people here say, oh, young people don't listen to the radio anymore. But there is a resurgence.
Yeah. And there, a lot of those people's parents and grandparents, these kids grew up listening to KMUD because their parents and grandparents had it on all the time. And KMUD is always incorporated. They have a youth and radio program on Saturdays, you know, and so they've always tried to incorporate the young people into the station itself. We do classes for how to get into radio and how to use the soundboard and what the restrictions and stuff are. But there's not a lot of other things to do for young people there either. So it's something to do.
How about the music scene out there? Do you have people wanting to get music on air?
Oh, yeah. We broadcast live music often. Mm-hmm. Our Studio B is like your studio.
Our great hall.
Yeah, it's like that. And that's where guests, when we have talk guests, you know, that's where they'll usually be in there. Or when we have live music, that's where they'll be. And, you know, there's a couple of AI bands that actually put out really good music. I'm telling you, I was playing these two bands and I liked their music so much. So I started looking into them. They're both AI bands. And I was like, I never would have thought that would be an application for AI, but then it makes perfect sense. Because if you get really detailed about what you want, it'll give that to you, right? It's kind of a blend of music. Some of their songs are Spanish and English. Some are just one or the other. A little rock, a little Latin, a little reggae, a little bluegrass kind of feeling around it. It's great. And I was like, I didn't even want to say anything about it, but I have to because it's our reality. I don't want live music to go away. And honestly, I don't think it ever will because there's nothing like a live performance when you want to hear music.
Do you have thoughts about the larger context of radio? And the current administration is really threatening a lot of things. The current FCC chair, Brendan Carr, has his eye on, you know, shutting down radio stations.
Communication that they don't have control over, basically.
Our one Democratic member of the FCC, Ana Gomez, they're really targeting to try and get her off. It was one of Trump's wanting to summarily remove someone without cause.
Yeah.
And there are only three FCC members at this moment. I do sit in on the Pacifica Affiliates monthly Zoom that's made up of all the grassroots stations across the country who participate, and they talk about these issues. Mm-hmm. Things like what industries lobbying cars to try to remove radios, mm-hmm. so that people, because that is happening.
I did not know that, yeah.
That is happening. And so many people just say, I only listen to radio when I'm in my car. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, that's a lot of the time.
Yes.
And I'm one of those people. Yes. Certain times of the day, I'm in my car and I always catch those shows.
Yeah. So I listen to Heather Cox Richardson a lot.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And she keeps me optimistic that we are having an opportunity and not a disaster. There's no doubt about the fact that we as a country are in a crisis. She shows you how what we're going through, while it's a little bit different in the specifics, it's the same thing. These crises that this country has gives the opportunity for the people to come together and make the world they want to see. And we have forgotten how lucky we really are to have what we have.
I do think that grassroots radio can be a force.
Exactly.
In pulling people together.
Yeah.
And also, radio is one of the more reliable sources if there is an emergency.
Yeah.
People can tune into radio and they will lose the internet.
My understanding is the difference between a public radio station and a community radio station is the community radio station's absolute first priority is to disperse information, emergency information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have floods, fires, all kinds of stuff that we need to report on. People all go to KMUD. Everyone in the area, even if they aren't regular listeners to KMUD, will go to KMUD when there's an emergency, because we will tell them what roads are open, what roads are closed, what's going on with this, that, or the other thing that they need to be aware of. Who needs to be evacuated in case they didn't get the message, whatever. Then after that, then you have the freedom to program the rest of your whatevers. But the first priority is to be an emergency. Same with BMIR, Burning Man Information Radio. It's mm-hmm. like that's their first priority is to disperse emergency information if there's a storm or whatever.
That is something else I did want to touch base with you on.
I did not mean to switch.
I had you on Catch the Beat. I think it was a couple of years ago.
It was
ago.
Just about almost exactly.
And I was particularly interested in what you do with Burning Man Radio.
Yeah.
So just give us a little taste of that.
Well,
you've been there twice since I talked to you.
Yeah.
Right? And
I don't notice any diminishment as far as the economy and stuff is not really affecting that the same way, because it doesn't have the same dependency on its listenership. It's only on for 10 days.
Well, okay. Well, we got to do the basics. What is, first, what is Burning Man? And then the radio station for these 10 days every summer.
What Burning Man really is an art community. They really want to promote freedom of expression, and art is the main function. It gets a lot of press for being a big party scene, and there's 80,000 people there. There's going to be big parties.
80,000 people convene for 10 days.
Yes. Well, 70. There's about 10,000 staff and volunteer included in that. It's the high desert in Nevada. It's not sand. It's alkaline, very fine powdered alkaline dust. It's really different than what you think. And so people, for like a month or two before, there's a whole infrastructure that needs to get developed as far as how to put the roads in and where the porta potties for that many people, how you're going to, you know, where those all porta potties.
So they literally put in roads every single year.
Every single year.
Wow.
Because the city is shaped like a horseshoe, right? And so the spokes are like 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock. But then the circles that go around the streets are in alphabetical order. And the names of those change every year depending on the theme of the year for that event. When I first started going, they only went to, I think G. And now it's out to L. So it's really grown a lot in this. I've been doing this. This will be my 19th year.
Yeah.
And my son's the one that got me going. I used to work at music festivals up where I live, and there's no vending, there's no stages, there's no schedules for performances, and people come from all over the world to create something amazing. It's the hardest thing to describe because there's nothing you can compare it to. It's not like anything else. It's not like a festival. It's not like anything else. My most memorable art installation was the first year that I went. I was walking out, it was daytime, and this man goes, "Hey, you want to see my perspective changing machine?" And I went, well, yeah. And he goes, well, come here and stand up on this milk crate. And I stood up on the milk crate. And he goes, your perspective just changed 16 inches. But he was right. You could see so much further, you know. And it was like, so it's anything from that to ones that people, okay, there can be huge, like Pegasus. There's this huge Pegasus that is probably 15 feet up in the air and probably, I don't know how many, it's huge. And it's metal, and it's sculpted, and it's piped in with propane. So it's this, and it
so
moves.
It's on fire.
It looks like it's running, and uh-huh. and the flames are in the wings and uh-huh. the feet, and so that's kind of those are like two extremes, and then there's all kinds of everything in between. It's mostly about community and art, and it used to be when they first started, it was all about bartering. But they went, about 10 years ago, they kind of did a shift to gifting society. They're really trying to promote the idea of gifting without expecting. So there's camps that do breakfast every, pancake breakfast every day until they run out of batter. All the camps that give away food are all inspected by the health department. So there's not, we don't have issues with people getting sick from that. So that's a big deal. But there's no vending. You have to bring everything. It's rugged. I mean, it's really it's a thing that's, not easy to do, but worth all the trouble.
And the radio station.
The radio station.
You showed me a picture. It comes in two big shipping containers.
Yeah, big containers. They're both packed full when it's time to leave, and, you know, it have to be unpacked when we get back. But one of the containers is the broadcast booth, and the other container is the booth for recording PSAs and various things that need to be recorded that aren't on a time schedule. You can't really combine them because they can't both happen at once in the same room.
And does this broadcast 24/7?
Yes, it broadcasts 24/7. The function is to disperse information. So before the event, at the ingress, one of the things that we always do is every hour we'd say how much wait time there is from the road to the gate and the gate into the city. It used to be you had to wait for many, like sometimes 10 hours to get from the road to actually where you were trying to go, because it's a long ways and it's slow. You can't drive 5 miles an hour is the speed limit once you get into that area, right? And then you have to get your tickets and go through that, and then you have to go through the gate, and then you drive another mile and a half and you go to the greeter's gate where they greet you and they give you the handout, the little what, where, when guide that everybody gets in a map of the city. My gig there is sunrise morning shows, and I really enjoy that for a few reasons. And one of the reasons is I really enjoy bringing people in that have been out all night or people that are getting up to go to work, right? So there's like this middle ground where it's not going to put you back to sleep if you're waking up, but it's not going to be frantic if you're trying to go to sleep.
People
come from everywhere. Huh. There's camps from the Middle East, there's Australia, there's Latin America, South America, Africa. There's people come from all over the world to Burning Man. That's one of the beauties of it.
This is about as much as I can fit into one Catch the Beat show. And I just want to
thank you
so much, Cindy Anna Jones, your radio moniker, for coming to the WEF studio.
Well, thank you. It's really nice to see you again.
It's really fun to network.
Yes, it is.
The radio stations that we share so many similarities. You say you look at our board and you say, I feel right at home.
I'm looking at this board over here. Well, listeners, I just want to encourage you all to support your local radio station because they need you.
What a good thing to say. That's wbft.org. There is a great big blue donate button.
Yeah.
Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time.